Hello and welcome. My name is Onyechi, and this is Money That Is Intercontinental, the show about what it actually takes to move money across African borders. Every episode, I sit down with the people building it and making big moves in the industry. Today, I'm talking to David, head of engineering at OneRemit. OneRemit relaunched last month, and I wanted to know what really changed under the hood. So I asked the person who built it. David, welcome.
Hi, Unity. It's good day. How are you doing?
Hi, David. I'm doing great. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we jump into it, David, tell us a little about yourself. Is OneRemit your first rodeo into your payment infrastructure? And how long have you been in the game?
Funny that you asked for it. It's my first rodeo. Wouldn't that be funny? I have been in payment for almost a. I've been in engineering basically for around a decade and payments close to that, right? I've had to build in different capacities for both traditional banks and fintechs. So it's pretty exciting stuff we're reading here and we're in retirement. Really exciting.
Experience. So you should be able to answer any question I throw at you.
I wouldn't say any question, but.
Don't worry, don't worry. I think you're up for the challenge. But let's talk about the relaunch, right? Excited that you've been building payments infrastructure for a while. So let's talk about the relaunch last month. From where you sit, what actually changed under the hood and why did it work too?
All right. So from the top of my head, there are a bunch of things that you like customer would see. From this new product, we are speaking about things like personalized virtual accounts, transaction reliability have improved. The recipient and payment readiness have become more robust, right? So there's a bunch of things, including how the payments loop currently works. We've been able to optimize the platform in a way where you don't need to spend a lot of time to get a lot of things done. And off the top of my head, I would tell you that these are things that customers would be able to see in their first interaction with the application.
So I feel like it's answered a question of mine that I haven't even asked yet, but I'll still ask it just in case you have a better answer for me. Can you tell us one change that a customer will feel right when they interact with the platform, even if they didn't know why that change existed?
Okay, so because of how much time I've spent building applications, I feel like one area I feel that always gets overlooked is that platforms should be very intuitive. And so that's one thing I feel like customers would really get to see once they get on the platform is how intuitive it is. You don't really have to reach out to support for a lot of things because we've been able to redesign the flow in a way where it's easy for you to get through the whole application in a few minutes. Our transaction time has dropped. The time it takes for you to make a transaction now is probably much faster than you would do on mobile phone for maybe similar applications, right? So we've spent a lot of time putting work into that.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is ease of access and just an all-around seamless experience for customers. That's wonderful. So I'll ask you a question that I feel has been on the mind of any customer that does business with OneRemit. When most people send money, all they see is the interface, right? They make a tap and then it comes, they get a confirmation, right? But underneath that, there's a payment route that's they can't really see. So can you walk me through how one of those routes actually gets built and what it takes to keep it running?
So for me, I would say in our case, actually, we treat routes like a living decision system, not really like a one-time setup. So a route is really defined by corridor, currency pairs, instrument type, compliance requirements, right? And probably even reliability profile. So we validate accounts, account bills, right? We get like the quotes, we get what the availability for that route is, right? These are things we put into mind when developing a route. For engineers, I would say we build in some sort of like a factory pattern, right? So it's easy to always plug in and plug out routes depending on the maintenance, schedule patterns, latency, right? And behavior, basically, right, all around. So we always make sure the best route is the default route, right? And then we degrade bad routes over time.
So I'm hearing a lot of technical nomenclature that I'm sure that if the customer listening to you speak is just, what on earth is going on here? So I'll ask another question that someone that listens to just as I have would have, right?
Yeah.
What if one of these routes are like, someone has to watch it, you know? That's the big idea of knowing that your payments are secure. And when they go through, you know it's going to get there. So what does real-time monitoring actually look like across the corridors that one room is run?
Basically, is for us, it happens at different layers. I want to just confirm, are you speaking of monitoring just on routes or the application as a whole?
No. I'm actually asking about the routes themselves, you know, for that security that the client is looking for. This is you giving me an insight into why one room is secure once the money moves.
Okay, so when it comes to routing, right, monitoring would heavily involve API performance, right? So we are always tracking what performance for the APIs are, what the latency time is. You were saying someone has to monitor, but what we try to do was that is set benchmarks, right? And then we always have like alert and triggers for when a route is exceeding a particular time. That's basically one way to look at it, right? So we are always looking at that, whether we are also watching for failures by route and saying, oh, how long is it taking for this? How many customers are having errors on this? The idea is we want to always be ahead of things before customers complain or before customers even get to notice. For us, monitoring happens under the hood. We've already set benchmarks and we set alerts alongside just to help us manage things like that.
Well, these benchmarks you talk about, they remind me of that one time I dabbled into Forex and I had to get stop losses and all those funny things. I still lost the money. You know, and I'm sure most people listening to us have that wound in Forex. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, I think it will happen.
You know, yeah. But let's paint an actual picture. You know, just let's step away from technical right now and let's paint an actual picture. For someone who hasn't actually interacted with the dashboard, give us a visual of what the dashboard would look like, of, you know, like that experience that they will be getting if they were going to use the new one.
Okay, so what we try to do, or the idea around the dashboard is, as I earlier spoke, was one, it has to be intuitive. So coming to the dashboard, what we're trying to optimize for is your buttons to click. Things are very direct. You can see where your transaction is, what your current balance is, what your wallet balances are across all wallets, and where to send money. Also, sending money, the forms are very intuitive. We try to reduce the amount of forms that people they are asking for and also find other ways to get this information. So there are documents we could ask for, fills out a lot of forms for us on the back end, right? But what we try to do at the end of the day, or what we are always trying to tell customers is you won't have to spend your whole day making transactions, right? We spent a lot of time ensuring that the dashboard is more intuitive, so as get to the point and as minimalist as possible.
You know, it sounds like you actually built this platform for a busy business owner that doesn't want to be bothered by the hassle of mobile banking.
Yeah, I think that's the idea at the end of the inspiration behind building it. And that's why I feel like it took this long to get here. It's because we have to spend a lot of time realizing that it's not a gaming application, right? It's a payment app. We just want to be in and out as fast as possible. Fill whatever form that has to be filled, send their money, and get notified as soon as the money drops, especially because customers want to get carried along every step of the way. And that's what we try to do.
Well, in a world where payment remains a constant problem, I'll say that it sounds like one remit is doing something really good. But, you know, this particular question now is just a fun tidbit, because I know that nothing runs perfectly forever. So can you tell me, just give me an instance of one time something broke? What happened? How quickly was it caught? And how fast was it fixed?
I'm trying to look for a good example that probably is less technical. That would really explain to the customers how much on top of things we are.
Yeah, I'm sure for juicy stories here.
I don't have juicy stories for you, but yeah, so we'll look at cases where we've had to deal with. And just to note, cases like this are already being caught by quality assurance team so that customers don't have to go through it. But during development, we would have cases where probably the team is testing with a certain limit or testing in the different time zones and stuff like that and raising errors. What we try to do is, under the hood, we already have sets of chaos tests that is supposed to mirror things like this. So when things like this happen, response time is quite quick because we understand that people are dealing with money. It's people's money down the line. You have to, but when it's hanging, I'm not expecting to hear stories. And so we also sitting from that period. I think that basically explains how we handle it. We really had to have issues where customers would find issues themselves because we have an extensive QA team that are making sure this does not happen. But in rare cases and off chances where customers have complaints, sometimes it's always like feature requests, or I'd rather the OTP be here, or I'd rather I have the button here, or I'd rather I don't see this form, things like that. Or this button doesn't seem to work the way I expect it to work and stuff like that. These are things where our response time, especially from the engineering standpoint, is always quick because of how much time we know customers don't actually have when their money is on the line.
Oh, so it sounds like our customers rarely have any issues, which is very interesting because one important rule of marketing that it's one pyramid follows is the concierge customer support. And now it's so interesting because is the support just about getting clients to send us the new features they want? Because that's kind of how it sounds from what you're seeing. Just to round it off, is there anything exciting that the engineering team is looking to build or is currently building that customers can be excited to look forward to?
Currently, there are a bunch, but by the time this podcast will be out, these features would have already been out.
Yeah, but we are building exciting stuff,
and it's always still around transfers and then other corridors, and also around getting payments real time. We are also trying to reduce the amount of time people get to spend on the dashboards.
I know I said that was the last question, but we just have one more for you. And this is just like a personal one, but still in terms of payments infrastructure. So is there any engineering challenge that people don't really see? You can share with us, you know, the hard parts of moving money across African borders that never actually makes it into marketing.
One I would say is most people actually think that integrations are the hard parts, integrating route to service providers. But from a builder standpoint, I feel like the hard part for us is always like operational consistency across growth, right? Keeping the product at very high speed while being compliant and having enough reliability, and also trying to balance supports and the rest. Because as you scale, every shortcut becomes expensive. You have to really consider things like observability, ownership. You have to know how to catch enough exceptions.
Thank you so much. That was David, Head of Engineering at One Remit, with a beautiful episode for us. So if you want to see what we're building, check out our website at oneremit.co. I am Oinichi, and this has been Money That's Intercontinental from One Remit, your remittance partner. See you next episode. Bye.